Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's fun to be back with you here looking at Colossians chapter 2. We left off in verse 8, and I thought again I would just back up reading the whole verse, and then we'll continue on.
Yes.
We had said last week, we had read from verse 8 where it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception." And then we left off here where Paul said, "According to the tradition of men, according to the elemental principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." So last week, you and I looked at the means of this possibly being taken booty, which would be through the philosophy and empty deception.
Yeah.
Now we're going to see the source of it. And the source, as you preached when you were preaching this, was according to the tradition of men and the elemental principles. Why don't you explain how they're related and what they are?
Let's start out with human tradition.
Right.
These are religious traditions.
Yeah.
Okay. They were expressed by the philosophy.
Right.
And this term, according to, kata.
Yeah.
It's found three times, and it's a preposition of source. This is where it comes from.
Right.
Okay, so now we have a situation where teaching is coming to Christians.
Yeah.
Under the guise of some version of the church.
Right.
Whose source is human tradition.
Right.
I have the ESV. According to human tradition,
right.
Or literally the tradition of men.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, people today think tradition is all the only source that you need.
Right.
Okay. And if they have a long-standing religious tradition,
yeah,
they think they have a right to it. And that if you say anything to correct it, shame on you.
That's right, that's right. We saw an example of that in an article written in, I think it was Christianity Today, Bob, is that what it was? By a man that we both were aware of from seminary. And what he had done is he had cited sources from Catholic sources that were engaged in mysticism and different things like that. And because they happened in church history, what he said in his article for Christianity Today, these practices were fine to engage in because, after all, they were done in church history. And so instead of the source being the scriptures and the Word of God, for him, the source as to whether or not you should do something is if it's been already done in church history.
Yeah. When I wrote my book about Emergent,
yeah,
that was their claim.
Right.
And they literally say, anything found in church history is fair game.
Right, right.
And then, as I mentioned last week, if you say, but even in church history, they contradicted each other.
Right.
And they'd say, well, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
God intended it that way. And if we're patient, all the contradictions are going to emerge into a better future.
Oh, isn't that terrible?
So don't choose one versus the other, because then you're causing a setback to the process of spiritual evolution.
Right.
Embrace everything.
Yeah.
Embrace anything if you find it in church history.
Right.
Well, there's so much heresy in church history. Eastern ideas, mystical practices.
Yeah.
You know, paganism dressed up to be Christian.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to things that the Bible forbids.
Right.
But they don't like categories.
That's right.
They don't like somebody saying, well, no, these two are incompatible.
Right.
If you say that, which is what I was saying, oh, they just, oh, man, you can't do that.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, Bob, I saw the same thing from a church that on its website, instead of putting the doctrinal statement basically written out in Scripture, instead they gave a bunch of creeds. And in their doctrinal statement, they said, where these contradict, the Lord will work it out. And so the irony is, again, the final standard to these creedalist churches is not the Scripture, but it's the traditions of men. And that's something that Jesus warned about, even in, for example, Mark chapter 7, You had the tradition of the Pharisees where they were angry because Jesus' disciples wouldn't wash their hands.
Oh, yeah.
And well, here that command was given to the priest. It wasn't given to every person under the old covenant. And so here they had their own traditions, and Jesus told them, look, you nullify the word of God through the traditions of men.
Yeah, I have a verse about that.
Yeah.
Mark 7:5.
Right.
The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?
Yeah.
And they thought, the tradition is all you need.
Right.
But Jesus said, you invalidate the word of God.
Right. Amen. And you know, one of the dangers there, and the reason why this is such a big deal, is here you had Pharisees and other religious Jews who thought that they could be closer to God by simply washing their hands, that somehow that made them more pleasing to God. All the while, ironically, God is in their presence, the Messiah, by whom they have to know and to have access to God, and yet they're rejecting Christ, the only way that they can have a right relationship with God, while they're engaged in these traditions that can't get them closer to God. That's the irony. See, what tradition does is it gives us a false bill of goods. It says, if you do this, you'll be closer and more acceptable to God. And all the while, it steers people away from the only way that you can get close to God, which is faith alone in Christ alone.
I know.
That's what's so sad.
Paul's identifying something that's always been around.
Yeah.
That attacks biblical faith.
Amen.
Okay. Now, you can have traditions that are non-binding.
Right.
That are just the way we are. We like to meet on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It's our tradition. Right. It's not binding.
Right, right.
We don't claim it is.
Exactly. That's the issue. It's the claim, isn't it?
Yeah.
And whether we claim it for us or someone else.
Luther, and this was so important at the Reformation.
Yeah.
If it was not possible to contend against the traditions of Rome,
yeah,
you couldn't have a Reformation.
Right, right.
And they were saying, no, we are ancient and we are many, therefore we are right.
Oh, wow.
Okay, we have the creeds and the councils and the traditions, and they're binding.
Yeah.
And you, Martin Luther, must submit to us.
Right.
And he says, no. And he also said, and every Christian is a priest to God.
Amen.
And every Christian can bind and loose.
Yeah.
Every Christian can judge whether traditions are biblical or not.
Right.
If they're a matter of necessity or Christian liberty.
Yeah.
Or to be rejected as pagan.
Yeah.
Let me quote Luther about
this. Yeah.
All right. Quote, as we have declared already, the ministry of the word belongs to all. To bind and to loose clearly is nothing else, says Luther, than to proclaim and to apply the gospel. For what is it to loose if not to announce the forgiveness of sins before God?
Right.
What is it to bind except to withdraw the gospel and declare the retention of sins? Whether they want to or not, they must concede that the keys are the exercise of the ministry of the word and belong to all Christians.
Wow.
Any Christian, knowing the gospel, according to Luther, and he's right,
yeah,
can declare the terms of the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
And if Rome was to bind people, they have no power or authority.
Right.
Because Christians have the power to bind and to loose.
Amen. Wow, very powerful.
And it's no wonder there was a Reformation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, isn't it interesting, Bob, the foundational principle of the Reformation is sola scriptura. And I know that you're going to be doing a message at an upcoming conference in August, where you're going to be arguing for sola scriptura.
Yes.
And one of the implications of sola scriptura is we have to get rid of the traditions of men. The
traditional
of men.
Creeds
yeah.
are not binding.
Right.
Because they're beyond Scripture.
Yeah, amen.
And I just sent you a shot of a website, a PDF.
Yeah.
Where this denomination claims their creeds are binding
right.
on the conscience of Christians.
Yeah, they say
and
that.
And cannot
that
be
word.
Questioned.
Right. Yeah, that very word was used, binding. They used it.
It's well, they reject Luther.
Yeah.
But they call themselves yeah. Luther.
Ironically, yes.
You know, creeds are either Scripture,
yeah.
which they're not, or they're doctrine.
Yeah.
And doctrine would be teaching supposedly derived from Scripture.
Right.
If teaching is a valid implication and application of Scripture, then it would be binding.
That's right.
But every Christian has the necessity and the right to judge whether that's true.
Yeah, we see that in 1 Corinthians 14.
And that was the whole point of Luther.
Yes.
So here's somebody saying, I'm Lutheran, and you're bound by my creed, and you can't judge it.
Right.
Well, then get the name Luther off of your group because you're in rebellion against
right.
sola scriptura
yeah.
and the Reformation.
Right, that's right. I remember, Bob, at the Diet of Worms, what was the famous line Luther said? He said, here I stand, mm-hmm. I can do no other unless I'm convinced by Scripture and reason.
Right. He didn't say unless I'm convinced by somebody's tradition and their creed.
Right. Yes, yes. It's an attack on the authority of Christ.
It is. And people think they're safe fleeing to tradition.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I can't count on me understanding the Bible, but I feel good if I just have a tradition.
Right, right.
But your tradition may be damning you. Colossians 2:8, according to human tradition. And then it goes on to say, according to the elemental spirits of the world.
Wow. Now, Bob, this phrase is in the ESV as elemental spirits, but it's really stoikion, or stoikia, depending on the plural or the singular. But here we have the term for these, really, the demonic beings. Explain why we know that that term stoikia means that. I know it has a range of meaning.
Well, again, Clinton Arnold did a lot of great work
yeah.
uncovering that.
Right.
And he shows in his work that from Scripture and what we know about the language and the usages
yeah.
in Asia Minor, so we can understand what Paul said,
yeah.
these are spirit beings.
Right.
They have teaching.
Yes.
Okay? And so these are beings, and they're the source of false teaching. Now, let's look at some stuff we covered earlier
yeah.
in Galatians to help us understand the stoikia.
Right.
The term is also used there. In Galatians 4:3, it says, in the same way we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elemental forces of the world.
Mm.
Now, these elemental forces
yeah.
to which we were in slavery, some people say, well, it just means the ABCs of religion.
Right, yeah, that's farcical.
Okay,
yeah.
But it's stronger than that.
Yeah.
These are forces of darkness that are deceiving people.
Yeah. So, you know, Bob, there's a deep irony here, isn't there? And you've mentioned this in your message, and you mentioned it in several of your papers that you wrote, your articles. And the irony is here, the demons are producing doctrines that go through men that are given to Christians that say, if you want protection from the demons, you have to follow these various practices. And all the while, the irony is it's the very teaching of the demons. That's the ultimate source of this philosophy
yes.
and the empty deception.
That's what Paul says.
Yeah. Wow.
According to the elemental spirits. Now, see, these stoikia,
yeah.
you're right, they have teachings.
Right.
Okay. And the teachings are deceptive in that they suggest that they can tell you how to be away from spiritual bondage.
Right.
But they are the source of the bondage.
Right, amen.
Well, remember, we're to beware not to be taken captive.
Yes.
Hauled off as plunder.
Yes.
Now, though these stoichia are linked to the physical elements,
yeah,
they were seen in the ancient world,
yeah,
as spiritual beings.
Right.
And we also see that again in Galatians 4,
right,
another place where we read about these elemental spirits.
Right.
It says here, quote, "But in the past, when you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not gods."
Yeah.
Now, some translation says beings.
Wow.
Okay. "But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and bankrupt elemental forces?"
Wow.
Now, in this case, in Galatia, he was about going back to the law of Moses.
Right, right.
So, these stoichia,
yeah,
are real spiritual beings. They have doctrine.
Yeah.
They put people in bondage.
Right.
If we go back to whatever it is God saved us out of,
yeah,
we're going back under the stoichia.
Right, right.
Now, under the old covenant, the whole world was under the host of heaven.
Right.
But Israel was under Yahweh.
Right, yep.
But according to Stephen in Acts 7:42,
yeah,
when Israel rebelled against Yahweh, she went under the same forces of darkness.
That's right, that's right.
And so the philosophy, the empty deceit, are according to the stoichia.
Yeah, amen. And you know what's fun, Bob, is when we look at the rest of Scripture, you know, what we're saying here is being backed up. For example, I was thinking of in 1 Kings 22, you have Ahab is this king, a wicked king in Israel. God is going to bring him to destruction. And what's very interesting is in 1 Kings 22, there's a true prophet of God, Micaiah, and he kind of pulls back the screen, as it were, and shows us that ultimately God had ordained that Ahab would fall in battle. And what God used as a means to bring Ahab to battle was a spirit who would give false words to the false prophets in Israel. And so there we see the doctrine go from demons to men. And we see the same thing, for example, in 1 Timothy 4, where it says in verse 1, "Now the Spirit," this is God then, "expressly says in the latter times," that's what we're living in now, "that some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons."
Yeah, doctrines of demons.
Yeah, there we go. So it shouldn't surprise us that that's exactly what Paul's saying here.
And so the big deception is deliverance teachings.
Right.
That purport to help people get free from demons.
Yeah.
They come from demons.
Right.
This is the craft of the shaman.
Wow. Yeah. Now, Bob, I love that term shaman. It's so good. Explain, because you've used it in your writing. Explain what you mean by that. That's a really good term.
Well, it's a fairly general term.
Yeah.
That's why I use it. And it's every society that believes in any kind of spirits,
yeah,
there comes to be a class of people who purport to know more about that realm.
Right, right.
And they know what's going on.
Yeah.
And they claim to know the secret to manipulate the spirits.
Yeah.
To get a better outcome.
Yep.
A crude term would be witch doctor.
Sure.
But very accurate, really.
It is, yeah.
Now, in Old Testament Israel, they were told not to consult spiritists. And these were those experts.
Yeah.
Okay. The spiritual world, by God's grace, is unseen to us.
Yes, yeah.
Every once in a while, God pulls back the veil.
Right, right.
Like he did that one time when he saw the chariots.
Yeah, with Elisha, right.
Now, the
yeah.
spiritual world contains good and evil.
Yeah.
There are good angels. There are fallen angels. There's this heavenly council.
Right.
Comes up in Job.
Yeah.
Satan comes among them.
Right.
Okay, so the sons of God.
Yeah.
Now, what pagans believe is that they need a shaman who's an expert
yeah.
to help them navigate this world.
Right, right.
To appease, to rebuke, to scare away, to do whatever they have to do so that they have good crops, that they don't have diseases, that they have many children, the fertility rights, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's been throughout world religions.
Right, right.
As it was in Asia Minor.
Yeah.
Now, this is what was going on. And Paul is saying, no, it's the philosophy.
Yeah.
It's empty. It's according to the traditions of men.
Yeah.
It's according to the Stoichia.
Amen.
All right.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
Dear saints, let me explain something. This world that God graciously, right now, hides from us.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want to see it.
Right.
Sunday, Eric was talking about Revelation 9.
Yeah, it'll become manifest.
When some of these locked up beings are let out, it's horrible.
It is,
And it's God's grace we can't see this.
Exactly.
And we may wish we could find somebody that knew what they're doing. They may be called a deliverance counselor or an inner healer, but we can't see that.
Right.
Jesus Christ, who created everything, seen and unseen.
Yeah.
The entire universe.
Yes.
Spiritual and immaterial.
It's under his control.
It's all under his control.
Yeah.
He came. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He walked among us. And he appointed apostles that he tangibly taught, so they know what he said.
Yeah.
And what we know about this world of the elemental spirits, we know only validly through Scripture.
That's right.
So we say Scripture alone.
Amen.
We only find salvation through Christ.
Right.
That's why we say Christ alone.
Yeah.
Okay? And if we think we can gain further knowledge by religious tradition, by experimentation, by contacting the world of the spirits, as I say, we will be deceived.
That's right.
We have teachers claiming to be reformed going around teaching spiritual practices.
Yes.
That are not found in the Bible.
Right, that's right.
Claiming that they'll make us closer to God.
That's right.
It's just a Colossian heresy.
It is, just repackaged.
Well, so these elemental spirits, thank God, are unseen.
Right, right.
And according to Ephesians, where other terms are used, like principalities and powers, we are seated with Christ.
Amen.
We're saved.
We're secure. Isn't that beautiful?
See, dear ones, if you stick with Christ, you'll never be deceived.
Yeah.
Because he protects you.
Right.
Stick with the gospel.
Amen.
And don't go into this realm. We don't need to.
Yes.
And the idea is that if you don't learn the secrets of the spirit world, you won't be effective.
Right.
Or some bad thing will happen. Is nothing more than the Colossian heresy.
Yeah, right.
And then there's one more thing here to finish out our verse.
Right.
Colossians 2:8, the last, kata, and not according to Christ.
Wow. So Christ is not the source.
It's the philosophy with a definite article, which is empty deception.
Yeah.
That's according to the traditions of men.
Yeah.
It's according to the hostile powers, but it's not according to Christ.
Wow.
Dear saints, this couldn't be clearer.
Yes.
This is laid out here for our good always.
Right.
Sunday when I was preaching, I cited a passage out of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
About the teachings that God gave the old covenant people through Moses were for their good always.
Amen.
And what Christ teaches us is for our good always.
That's right.
So the Christ hymn extolled the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ.
Right. And you know, Bob, we're going to come back to verse 9 next week. And when we get to verse 9, Paul is going to reiterate the sufficiency of Christ. He's going to explain why all of these other doctrines are not needed. We have all we need in Jesus Christ, not just for salvation, but for our provision, our protection,
yes,
our sanctification, our glorification. We have all we need in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Everything we need,
yeah,
comes from Christ.
Amen.
By implication, teaching for the church must come from Christ.
That's right.
Now, to reiterate what we said in the last few weeks,
yeah,
Colossians 2, 6, and 7, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him.
Yeah.
And really, the solas, we call them the solas of the Reformation,
right,
but they're all biblical.
Amen, that's right.
Okay, Christ alone, you couldn't think of a more biblical doctrine.
Right, right.
Okay, and so when we go to these other sources, now we're not saying we can't learn facts,
yeah,
using science, logic, our physical senses.
Right, that's general revelation. That's, yes, valid, yeah.
But those are not saving facts.
Exactly.
They're condemning.
Right, right.
Meaning, if we don't ever come to God,
yeah,
though we see the creation telling us about him,
say Romans 1:20,
we're lost.
Exactly. Yeah, Romans 1. Right.
But we're not forbidden to learn auto mechanics or,
yeah,
computers or,
yep,
whatever you do.
That's right.
But you can't go out there and fish around in the unseen realm,
right,
and find teaching for the church.
Right.
That's why we reject psychology.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's a study of the psuche, the soul.
Right.
The soul is unseen.
Exactly. We can't know.
And we can't come up with all kinds of categories for the soul.
That hasn't been revealed.
That's going to sanctify us.
Right, right.
Because we're saved and sanctified by the same means.
Yeah.
Through Christ alone.
Amen.
By grace alone. As taught in Scripture alone.
Yeah.
And so, we're not just being sticks in the mud. We're saying, this isn't going to do you any good.
Not exactly.
We can't observe the soul anymore. We can observe the stoichia.
That's right. That's right.
So with the unseen realm, we got to trust what God says about it.
That's right. We're bound to what he's revealed. Amen. Well, Bob, I'm excited to get into verse 9 next time. We'll see the remedy to these traditions of men and the traditions of the stoichia. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob and I both want to remind all of you, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.